I trust you found your place in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And I'll be reading here again, verses 10 to 13. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 10. The Bible says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Let us, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful promise we have from your word that we are not alone. Dear Lord, we thank you for your abundant mercy, your grace, your long-suffering nature towards us, dear Lord, and we recognize that we are so undeserving of your goodness, yet you extend this goodness to us. Lord, I pray that you would bless in a special way for many needs that exist upon the hearts of your people. May you show yourself strong and mighty. May your grace be evident in each heart and in each life. Lord, I pray tonight as we look into your word that you will continue to strengthen hearts and encourage each and every one on the sound of my voice, and that your word would be applied to our hearts, and that we'll be strengthened and be filled and challenged to take a closer walk with you. If there's someone here tonight who does not know you as his or her personal Lord and Savior, may tonight be the night of their salvation. May you encourage each heart in a special way. Accomplish your will as only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. In the Christian Reader, Lynn Austin writes the following, and I quote, "The artificial lures that fishermen use to catch fish look so phony. It astonishes me that any fish would fall for them. Shiny metallic and gaudy plastic, hot pink and neon colors in stripes and spots. Satan knows what he can use to dazzle and distract me. After more than 10 years of introducing myself as, in quotes, just a housewife, my enemy dangled before me the lure of a, quote-unquote, real job with a paycheck and prestige. To boost my flagging self-esteem, I snapped at the bait and signed a contract before prayerfully considering the consequences to our family life. Within a few months, I knew I had made a mistake. Early morning meetings forced me to leave the house while my children were still asleep. Afternoon conferences that dragged on and on turned them into latchkey kids. The demands of the job did not line up with my talents and interests. As the work pressures and the laundry piled up, I missed my daily quiet times with the Lord, my friends at Bible study, and my daughter's Mother's Day program at school. When my contract expired a year later, I gratefully resigned. I had learned a hard lesson, not to be distracted by the fancy lures that make me forget the things that really matter." The emphasis of this illustration and the story, which is evidently a true story, is not to decry those who go out to gainful employment or to earn a living, but to illustrate the importance of contentment. Contentment. The lack of contentment is the driver that leads to pursuits that take us away from where God wants us to be. While contentment, on the other hand, places us in a location, a place, so to speak, where we possess the clarity to pursue our God-given destiny with passions that He has placed in our hearts. Let me emphasize that contentment is not the same as being lackadaisical. But contentment is recognizing that God has a purpose and a plan for my life. I'm not driven and pulled and pushed and twisted and turned by what somebody else has or what somebody else is doing, but I understand that God has a plan for my life. And when I understand the plan for my life, I'm willing to pursue it with great passion to accomplish the purpose that He has for me. That is why Psalm 37 and verse 4 says, "To delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." The psalmist here is not saying that God is going to give me everything that flashes across my mental faculty. He's saying that when I put my heart in the right place to love the Lord, to serve the Lord, to delight myself in the Lord, He's going to give me the right desires. I'm going to have the right passions. I'm going to have the right motives, and I'm going to pursue them with everything that is in me, because God has deposited Him in my heart, and He wants me to fulfill them in the time He has given me here on planet Earth. And when I have that mindset, when I have that passion that God has given me, you come what may, whether I have a lot or I have a little, whether other people have or whether they don't have, that's not my driver, that's not my motive. I will live a life of contentment. That's how it works. The Apostle Paul had learned the principle of contentment. Here he was in a prison cell. From a human perspective, lots of things he could be mourning about. Lots of things he could be groaning about. Lots of things he could be lamenting. But here he was in a prison cell, encouraging individuals who had their freedom and saying to them, "Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice." He was a contented man. He was a man who had a contented spirit. We saw last week that he had an appreciation for their commitment. He was rejoicing in the Lord. He was able to see that even though he was in prison, he was able to see that these saints who he had invested time and effort and resources into and the ministry of the word, they were growing in the Lord, and he was able to see good even in his bad situation. He had an appreciation for their commitment. He pointed out an added clarification. He says, "I'm happy for what you're doing, but what you're doing is not really as much, it is beneficial to me, but it's also beneficial to you." He had an attitude of contentment. We recognize that this attitude of contentment is an acquired state. It's not something that we are born with. It's something that we have to learn. Amen. We have to constantly learn it. We have to constantly apply it to our lives. And it's applicable to every situation. There is no scenario that we need to wish for in order for contentment to be something that we embrace. If we're going to be content, we're going to have to be content right where we are, right now, regardless to what we are going through. It's an acquired condition. It's an acquired state. But I want you to notice tonight, in verse number 12, in continuing with this thought of contentment, that the Apostle Paul embraced what I call adjustment to changes. Adjustment to changes. Now, I'm amazed at how life transpires. There are times in our lives when things are going well. We're just in a good place. Relationships are thriving, and maybe there's some additional money in the bank, and things are going well, we're getting a good review and a good rating on our jobs, and it is just going well. I mean, sometimes don't you wish that things would just stay in that groove? I mean, can we just put it on autopilot and just let things continue like that? Why it seems like that can't continue? Paul says, if we're going to be content, we have to learn how to adjust to changes. The mountaintop experiences don't last forever. It's unfortunate, but that's just the reality of life. Well, maybe it's a good thing, because the same way the mountaintops don't last forever, neither does the valley. Amen? But Apostle Paul says, you have to learn how to adjust to changes. He mentions some things here in relation to changes in verse number 12. And he says to them, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. He was saying here, in relation to changes, I understand in life that there are going to be changes to, first of all, to my position. To my position. He says, sometimes you're going to be promoted. Sometimes you're going to be exalted. And sometimes you're going to be abased. You're going to be demoted. You're going to be put down. He may not necessarily have been talking about even a position on a job, as well as that might be an appropriate application. But I think here he was talking necessarily about sometimes people's impression of you is going to be different. There are times where people are they're going to laud your praises. They're going to sing your praises. Are you going to be, as they say, the best thing since sliced bread? I often wonder, when did sliced bread get to be so great? But sometimes, I mean, they're gonna say, man, you are awesome. I mean, you are wonderful. But the human nature and the reality is, man, sometimes they're going to say, man, you're just no good. I mean, that's how life is. That's how it works. Amen? But here's what we have to do. We have to learn to be content whether people approve of us or whether they disapprove of us. Amen? I mean, you cannot be up and down and all around based on what people think. If you are doing what God has called you to do, recognize that that's the reality of life. And that's why we have to understand the principle of contentment. Your happiness cannot be based on what everybody thinks about you. If that's the case, I mean, you'll be up and down and all around every single day. I mean, you don't even know yourself what mood, what kind of day you're going to have. Because it is based on what somebody else thinks. It's based on your condition. It's based on your circumstance. It's based on whether you got a promotion today, whether somebody else thinks you did a good job. Paul says, I understand how to be abased and I know how to abound. I understand how to function within the extremes that take place in this life in which we live. I must know how to adjust to changes. Amen? He says, by way of position. Well, here's another adjustment. He says, I also know how to adjust physically. He says, everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Paul says, man, there's some times where I had lots to eat. I mean, I was walking around, and listen, I had a belly full. Anybody like to have a belly full? I mean, I know people in this church, some people love to eat. I mean, eating is their hobby. But I don't know about you. Sometimes being full just feels uncomfortable. Don't you feel like you're just stuffed? Sometimes. But you just stuff yourself anyway. But the Apostle Paul says, I know how to be full. But he said, I also know how to be hungry. Some of you are saying, Pastor, that's where I just jumped off the ship. I left you stranded right there. I'm not dealing with this hungry business. You know, there's some people, listen, when they're hungry, listen, they're in a terrible mood. Don't cross them. Don't come around them. Don't speak to me. What? I'm hungry. Listen, they're like meaners. And all of a sudden, you give them a plate of food, they turn into an angel of light. You wonder, this is the same person? Food did the trick. The Apostle Paul says, I've been instructed to be full and to be hungry. He says, physically, I understand contentment. I mean, I know how to have a steak and lobster and shrimp and the whole deal. But when it's not there, I know how to get some bread and paste some butter on there. And I mean, make a mayonnaise sandwich. Any of you ever had a mayonnaise sandwich? What is it? A jam sandwich? Two pieces of bread jammed together. I mean, he says, I understand how to be content. I mean, some people just don't know how to get along with, the average. Yeah, you see my wife saying, no. I mean, she's actually telling you the truth. I mean, there's something that I've eaten in life that she has never eaten. Never. What can I tell you? I tell you, Apostle Paul says, I know how to be hungry and I know how to be full. He says, I understand how to adjust to changes. It changes in my position. You know, changes physically. But here's another one. He says, I understand how to adjust to changes in possessions. He says, both to abound and to suffer need. He says, I know how to have resources. I know how to have things. I mean, I know when there was money in the bank. I know how to abound and to enjoy the blessings of life and the resources. But he says, I also know how to suffer need. There was a time when I was rich, but there was a time sometimes when I was needy. I didn't know where the next paycheck was coming from. I didn't know how things were going to work out, but I understood the principle of contentment and I adjusted accordingly. If you're going to be content in this life, you have to know how to get along in both extremes. Adjustment to changes. But notice, finally in verse number 13, because of his, I love the connection between these things. It's amazing that we don't connect contentment with what I call confidence here. We've seen the adjustment to changes in verse 12, but notice how this leads to an abundance of confidence. Because he's able to be content. And the reason why he's content, it's linked to a knowledge and an understanding that God is still working in my life, that regardless to circumstances and situation and what I have and what I don't have, he had confidence and supreme confidence in God. And so because he is able to adjust in good times and in bad, he says in verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. An abundance of confidence. Don't forget, this man is still in prison. He didn't write half the letter in prison and half outside of prison. He's still in prison, and yet he's saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Why? The platform for him to make that statement was contentment. Understanding that God was working in his life. Regardless of the fact that he did not have his freedom, God had a plan, and that plan was being executed. And he was able to adjust to the range of circumstances that he was experiencing. And in his abundance of confidence, he first of all had a positive stance. He says, first of all, I can do all things. When it comes to serving God, brethren, get this. We must have a positive mindset. We must understand that God is able. We cannot afford to be walking around with this doldrum attitude of poor me, poor my, oh me, oh my. I must have a positive mindset. We are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Paul says, I can do all things. It is a mindset that you must embrace. A boy playing baseball alone was heard to say, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. He tossed the ball into the air and swung and missed. Strike one. Undaunted, he picked up the ball and threw it into the air again and said to himself, I'm the greatest baseball hitter ever. And he swung the ball again. Again, he missed. Strike two. He paused for a moment and examined his bat and ball carefully. Then a third time, he threw the ball into the air. I'm the greatest hitter who ever lived. And he swung the bat hard again. Missed a third time. He cried out, wow! Strike three. What a pitcher. I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. If we're going to serve God, we need to have a positive mindset. Amen? Don't let people bring you down to the ground. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Positive stance. Paul says in prison, I can do all things. But I need to continue because the verse doesn't end there. He had a positive stance, but understand this positive stance was because he knew that he would have power through the Savior. Amen? He says, I can do all things, the most important words in this verse, through Christ, not in my own strength. After all, we are weak. And we must understand our limitations. We must understand that the power is not inside of me. I mean, unless it's coming through Jesus Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit. He says, I can do all things through Christ. Brethren, that is the foundation. That is the crux of where our strength comes from. Apostle Paul says, I have this positive attitude, this positive mindset. I have this positive stance, but it's because I tap into power from the Savior. Amen. I tell you, you can be positive that you're gonna access electricity all you want, and you can have the appliance, and the appliance can be working fully and be functional, but unless you plug it into the outlet, it's not gonna work. Amen? Unless we plug into the power that comes through our Savior, we're not going to function the way God is intended for us to. We'll burn ourselves out and we'll find ourselves wondering whether we have the ability or the power. But the power is available through the Savior. Amen? It's a positive stance. In this abundance of confidence, but there's power through the Savior. But notice, finally, there's personal strength. As a result of the power that comes from the power source that comes from the Savior, look at what the Apostle Paul says. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Me. He says, this power that is available through the Savior, thank God, is accessible to you and to me. Personally, it's not just available and it's just floating out there in the air. It's available for you, for what you need to do. It's available for what you are going through right now. It's available to me and it's available to all of us personally and individually. You know, it's a great thing to rely on other people to pray for you and to know that I have the support. And that's what relationship is all about. That's what a church family is all about. But let me tell you something. In living this Christian life, there are going to be some times where you're going to have to access this power personally when nobody else is around. And you're going to need to have that strength that only God can provide directly to you. And it is available. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's some times where even your spouse can't help you. You wake up in the middle of the night and you're tossing and turning and you turn over and your wife is sleeping peacefully. What are you going to do? You better get some strength from the power source. Amen? And by the way, it can flip, it flipped the other way as well. But God is able to provide and to give what we need. And I love, he says, I'm able to give you abundantly above what you ask or even think. And that's why a personal relationship with God is so important. Apostle Paul says, in this area of contentment, I have to be able to embrace adjustment to changes. As good as things might be going now, don't expect it to remain that way perpetually. There are going to be some times where things are going to be up. There are going to be some times when things are down. Learn how to adjust to some hunger and to be full and to have abundance of resources and to have fewer resources. You know, we say in our local, listen, every day is not Christmas. If every day was every day was Christmas, Christmas would no longer be special. Because every day we've adjusted to a new norm. But that life changes. Circumstances change. And that's just the reality of life. We have to be able to adjust. But when we understand that God is in control, we can have an abundance of confidence that regardless of what's happening now, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Here's a plan and purpose for my life. And that all things there is related to in the context of his will for my life. Doesn't mean that if I want to jump 50 feet up in the air and that I'm going to do that. But it means that the desires, the destiny that God has for me, the passions that he's placed upon my heart to accomplish his will, he will give me what I need to get that done when I have the right desires. God says, my strength is available. My power is available for you personally. What is it that God has for you to do? You notice the words there? God has it for you to do. And just like a good supervisor, a good boss, a good owner of a company, if they have something particular for you to do, in order to get it done, they will supply what's needed. They will give you, they will bankroll the effort. They will give you the equipment. They will give you the training. They'll give you the resources. Why? Because that's the plan and purpose. God has a plan for your life. He wants you to accomplish it. And when you plug into that plan, that purpose, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that will stop you from accomplishing it. And you'll be able to say like the Apostle Paul, after learning the principle of contentment, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.